Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
You know what? We're going to approach this a little bit differently regarding Travis Kelce. I want to kick this thing off more to you guys and just get a gauge on how you're feeling regarding Travis Kelce. 913-586-7965. This is how I want to play it. Travis Kelce, through the first three games of the season, I think we all would agree, is not performing up to his usual standards. So far, Travis Kelce has 8 catches for 69 yards. He has not scored a touchdown. I gave you guys the stats last week. Now through his last 11 regular season games, he has 51 catches, 505 yards, and has 1 touchdown in his last 11 regular season games. This is my question to you guys. 913-586-7965. I will let you set the number. How many yards do you think Travis Kelce gets this season? We've seen 3 games. Granted, it is still the first month of the season, but Isaiah Pacheco is not coming back in the short term. Hollywood Brown is not coming back in the short term. This is their offense. Now, you expect some development with some players. I think you expect more of Xavier Worthy as the season progresses, but I don't think that you're getting more out of Sky Moore than what you have so far. I don't think you're getting more from Mecole Hardman than what you have so far. You guys know my stance on Juju. I think it's a little bit over for Juju. Now, can he have 300 yards receiving and a couple of touchdowns this year? Sure. But Juju is not bouncing back to the player he was. I think you got about as much as you can expect offensively from Carson Steele and Samaje Perine. You're not getting much more than 80 yards rushing from Carson Steele, catching it out of the backfield. Samaje Perine had about 40 yards from scrimmage. They got almost everything I think they can get from their offense up to this point, other than one player. I'll let you set the number. How many yards do you think Travis Kelce gets this season? Rob, I'll let you pick. I'll let you be the odds maker right now. What would you set a fair line at for Travis Kelce's yards the rest of the season? What can we expect? Is he still a guy that people are counting on to be in a 1,000-yard pass catcher and really get hot in the second half of the season? Is he a guy that you're fine if he's a 800-yard receiver, but he can give you those 3 magical performances in January when the team obviously needs it the most? I'll let you guys set the expectation for Travis Kelce. We don't have to have this conversation every week. I'm not interested in having this conversation every single week. I'll let you set the number, and then we can evaluate it based on that number the rest of the year. How many yards do you think Travis Kelce gets this season?
I would set the total number at 725. So that he's at, 80 right now? So 80 yards, he's got another 650 basically. Yeah, that's about 47 yards a game. Yeah, I think for the next 14 games, he can have 47 yards a game. That gets him to another 650 yards, 60 plus the 80 he has in hand, about 725, 730. I think that's a fair number. Because that, I mean, first and foremost, that's the math of it. I mean, do we think he's a 75, 80 yard a game guy like he was?
No.
He hasn't even been the 50 yard game a guy. So maybe
that seems low to me.
Yeah, it does. But he also has had 80 for the season.
Yeah.
So he hasn't had a 50 burger yet, because that would be impressive. He only averages about 4 targets a game right now, because he has, what, 12 targets over 3 games. So I would say about 50 yards a game gets him to 725 total. So I would set the number at 725.
I want to read 2 texts in relation to this. And again, I'll let you guys pick the number. Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, it is quite obvious that they are using Travis Kelce to clear out room for Rashee Rice. Once teams start to key in on Rice, Travis will get his yards and his touchdowns. Rice isn't going to catch 10 balls every game. I agree with you. That's not going to be his volume. I would say if you are a defense and you are not starting to key in on Rashee Rice, what are you doing? He's their best offensive player. Dating back to the second half of last season, when he got red hot at the end of the year, there was a noticeable shift in how they started using Rashee Rice. So dating back to last year, I'm on the page right now. Leading up to week 11, the most targets Rashee Rice had at a game was 6. Once they got after the Philadelphia loss, you remember, they lost 21-17 at home against Philadelphia, and in that game, Justin Watson had 11 targets. That was the last time they did that. Since then, they have been very committed to trying to get Rashee Rice the ball. So he has had 9 regular season games since that point. Obviously, postseason, 9 regular season games. Rob, in 5 of them, he has had double-digit targets. Teams should already be focusing in on Rashee Rice because he's their number one option. He is their best offensive player at this point. So if that's what we're saying, hey, they're using him as a decoy to open things up for Rice. When teams put more attention on Rashee Rice, things are going to open up for Travis Kelce. All right, I'm telling you, that time should have happened right now, because the targets of Rashee Rice, it is not going anywhere. He's their best offensive player. Another one I want to say, Reed, and then I want you to chime in. 913-586-7965. CDOT, who is getting the ball other than Rice? Justin Watson, Noah Gray, Juju, McColl. No one is getting the ball other than Rice. I don't care what Kelce's numbers are if we win. That's fair. That's fine. This is my counter. Are we now putting Travis Kelce in that conversation with those other guys? Are we now putting Kelce in that? Because there's a reason why you ain't giving Noah Gray the ball a whole bunch. There's a reason why Juju's not getting the ball a whole lot. There's a reason why McColl, they haven't thrown the ball to McColl this season. You can't get a catch if they ain't throwing it to you. He's not on the field for offensive plays. So, yes, Rashee Rice is getting the ball. Who else is getting the ball? I ask you, who else on this offense is worthy of getting more touches? No pun intended. Who should they be trying to get the ball more to offensively? We have all spent a lot of time telling you how different this offense is from last season. Their offense has kind of the same problem. Who do you trust right now on offense? Because yesterday, I saw Patrick Mahomes with one viable wide receiver in Rashee Rice. I saw him with an undrafted free agent running back. I saw him with the running back they just picked up 3 weeks ago on this team. And you got to throw your hands up at the other pass-catching options that they have. We can talk about Mahomes. He has certainly not been sharp. They ain't giving him a whole lot to work with, in my opinion, right now offensively. This offense we thought could be explosive, and it still obviously very much can be. But right now you got a rookie wide receiver, you got an aging tight end, you got a bunch of other role players, and Rashee Rice. They're getting the ball to the only person in the offense that I consistently trust to make explosive plays right now. That's number 4.
So let me say this about the texters who are talking about clearing it out. Because Collinsworth was hammering that last night. Like, he said it basically every time Kelce didn't get a catch. Well, look at this. All the focus is on Kelce, and that's why Rashee Rice is open. I get that, and I understand that, and that is probably an element of what's happening. But Carrington, let's rewind the clock 24 months. Travis Kelce was the undisputed only weapon on the Kansas City Chiefs. No offense to Juju. No offense to year one Marquez Valdez-Scantling. No offense to Kadarius Toney before the trade that brought him over. It was the Travis Kelce show in 2022. I knew it going into games. You know it going into games. Fans knew it. Opposing teams knew it. You know what Travis Kelce did? He still ate. He had 1,300 yards that year. He was dominant. So you know what? If they weren't double-teaming him then they aren't double-teaming him now. I reject this notion that he's some sort of fancy decoy out there. I agree with you. Teams are going to start keying in on Rice, and Kelce will get more touches in the interim. But Kelce is not out there just to strictly be some sort of, hey, you'll never believe it, but he's not a real weapon type player.
I think you and I are saying the same thing. We agree. We all watch the NFL. What great player have defenses figured out how to scheme to slow them down to this degree? We watched the NFL. He's an elite playmaker. It's hard to eliminate those guys from the game. It's really, really difficult to do so. Last thing on this, and we can move on. I want you guys to set the number. Again, I don't want to do this every week regarding Travis Kelce. Like, I'm cool to, we'll set a number, we'll hold him to that standard and move on. 913-586-7965. What is a fair number to set right now for Travis Kelce yards the rest of the season? And I will go off that number. If it's 700, cool. He's a 700-yard tight end. All right, cool. That's fine. This last thing. CDOT, we put up 41 points if they're better in the red zone. It's about red zone efficiency. What if I told you that one of the big problems for the Chiefs in the red zone is they don't have their best red zone option anymore? You know what their best red zone option used to be? Travis Kelce. That used to be it. It wasn't Carson Steele. It was throw the ball to 87. He catches touchdowns. He was a guy that was catching double-digit touchdowns. He now has one in the last 11 regular season games. So I don't disagree with you. It is about red zone efficiency. How many players on the Chiefs do you trust in the red zone? That's kind of one of the areas on the field. It's about whose offensive line is better and who's just got better talent than the other guys. When you had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, it was really easy in the red zone because you just got better players than they have in the red zone. So this is what we'll do. We will move on. 913-586-7965. Rob, I want you to write down some of the numbers, and let's see if we can establish this season, how many yards are you expecting from Travis Kelce? Is he a 700-yard guy, 800-yard guy? Are you expecting him to bounce back and have 1,000 yards and really get hot the second half of the season? We have seen 3 weeks of Travis Kelce. What can we expect from a future first ballot, the greatest tight end we have ever seen? What can we expect from him in the final 13, 14 games of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs? Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, Denny Matthews is going to call into the show today. I am taking responsibility for what has happened with the Royals over the course of the last couple of weeks. Somebody has to. It's not Bobby Witt Jr.'s fault. It might be everybody else's fault. So you know what? I am going to take responsibility. I told you guys last week that they should have beat around the Giants pitcher, Mason Black, who was 0-4 with a 7 ERA. He four-hit the Royals in six shutout innings, and that's when I knew, oh boy, they in trouble. I didn't think they were in trouble until this weekend. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention. I didn't think they were in trouble until I went to the game and saw it for myself. I was in person on Friday, and I'm telling you, I could feel it. Oh no. So you know what? I pride myself on analogies. It's something I practice, I work on. I save them in the notes on my phone. I'll be sitting there eating. One will hit me. I'll just jot it down. I can't wait to use this on the show. It's gonna change the game. I gave you guys the wrong one last week. I told you it was more like Apollo Creed.
Damn, Rod, come on! What's the matter with you?
Tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
I gave you guys the wrong analogy. I used a boxing analogy? No, I got to use a baseball analogy. It's like this.
Aren't we going to have a prayer? We're not all savages like Serrano over there.
You guys go ahead.
Oh, well, okay. It's all... bow our heads.
Excuse me, I'll be in my office.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly pray that you will guide
Jesus Christ, Serrano.
Have to wake up bats.
That's what the Royals need to do. They have to wake up bats. They must wake up the bats. The bats are asleep. I mean, the bats are in hibernation. They got to wake up the bats. I don't know what we need to do. Do we need to get a slugger doll in here and get a little bit of rum? Is that what we need to do tomorrow, Rob? We got a slugger doll around here somewhere, right? We got to have one. Do we got to get Slugger and some rum and have that up for the rest of the season? If that's what we got to do, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that the Royals make the postseason.
You know what? Tomorrow we're having a psychic on the show.
Yeah.
I will defer to the expert. If he says you guys need a slugger doll with a little shot of rum underneath it, that's what we'll be doing on this show.
Okay.
If he says, hey, you don't need that. What you need is a Bobby Witt and Michael Massey bobblehead right here. That's what we'll be doing. The psychic is our expert, not me and you. We don't know nothing about aura or juju. No, nothing. We had to bring in an expert tomorrow.
No, I know. You're right. That's right. Tomorrow at 2:15, we're going to have a psychic on the show. You guys think I'm joking? No, we have a real life. You are going to be able to watch it on Twitch, YouTube. I don't know where you're watching the show, but you're going to be able to watch it. The man's coming in studio. We need help, all right? Denny can hopefully help us. Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the show tomorrow. Maybe he can help, and we're going to have a psychic. We're doing everything we can to help the Royals. Can we talk about this for just a little bit, friends? 913-586-7965. I got to call out my dear brothers and sisters in the media. I do. I got to hold them accountable. Sometimes it's like we have forgotten how to just talk about the games. a critical third down, a decision. And we just talk about narratives and storylines. Now, sure, we all do this, but man, I like talking about the game. I like talking about Matt Araiza potentially saving a Chiefs loss with that great catch, the Nick Bolton tackle. Why is player X not performing up to a certain level? Why is this player exceeding expectation? Sure, I like the nonsense of the show. I like talking about Red Lobster and telling you guys my favorite movie and my food opinions. But deep down, you know what? I just like talking about sports. Every time I turn on the television, they never talk about the Chiefs in the game. They're always talking about the officiating. Every time. Oh, man, the refs. Oh, they just. Oh. It's the symphony for losers. I wake up in the morning. I'm getting ready for the day. I turn on my dear brother, Danny Parkins. I'm going to try to have him on the show. I've been trying to give him some time to get situated in New York. We got to have Danny on the show. You guys know Danny doesn't do afternoons anymore. Danny, he a TV man now. He's holding it down on the TV. So they were talking, of course, about the officiating on TV. We don't ever know how to talk about the Chiefs. We can't talk about the fact that Patrick Mahomes has thrown 18 interceptions in his last 19 starts. No, we can't talk about that. We got to talk about the officiating and how the Chiefs get all the calls. Danny had to go on the TV and set those people straight.
So you feel like the refs are on the Chiefs' side. Here's the pesky thing about these things called facts.
Yeah.
They don't care about your feelings. So since Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, they are the fifth most penalized team in football. They have the third most penalty yards against them, and their penalty differential compared to their opponent is the 11th worst in the NFL.
Yeah.
They actually commit more penalties and have more flags thrown against them than only four other teams in the entire league.
Except for one thing, cherry picker. How? I did the same research. We just don't have a full screen on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. These are the amount of calls netted out that have gone against Kansas City in the fourth quarter. Zero.
Oh,
none. 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 None.
Not a fact.
Zero.
That is not a fact. That is not a fact. He just wrote it on a sheet of paper.
Can I look at that?
Zero.
Yeah, you know what? That seems right to me.
It's not right. It's an outrage. It is a complete. It feels like a fact. That's not how facts work.
Hey, look.
It's not how facts work.
Danny, I got to be. Look, I love that. Come on, Greg. We have a team that is the villain. But the play that...
Bad call. It was a bad no call.
Have the Chiefs turned into KU basketball? I asked that from an honest and genuine place. This is what we do with KU. As a Missouri fan, I don't think I know KU gets all the calls. I've seen it. I saw Keon Dooling dunk on that man. They called a charge.
Well, that was a charge.
I saw Svi Mykhailiuk. The man looked like he was running to catch the bus. He did the Fred Flintstone. He did the Yabba Dabba Doo.
Crab walk.
They didn't call it. I remember the game. What was the game they were playing? That epic game against Oklahoma where Buddy Hield passes the ball in bounds. I mean, Frank Mason threw a screen. He's out of bounds. You can't do that. Remember that game? When was that? Was it Wayne Seldon when he saved that ball from out of bounds and his foot? He was standing next to Greg Gurley when he saved the ball. I know the officiating is rigged for KU. And then you know what you KU fans do? You come in here with your fancy schmancy advanced analytics. Well, actually, from the 9th minute of the game to the 21st, we actually have a minus 12 foul differential. Is that what the Chiefs have become? They become KU. You cheer for KU now? You're not. That'll make you feel a little dirty. Then now you can say, I cheer for KU. Well, actually, I mean, in the second half of games, they actually call two more holding calls. It's weak. That's not energy I can support, man. It's really not.
Why are you saying like it's a negative? Being a KU fan's great.
No, I don't want to be part of that.
The you get to deal with the March of the Losers. It's all the officials.
I don't want
to
do that.
You know, every time you get to watch a home game, your team's going to win, and then you rack up titles. How is that different than the Kansas City Chiefs? It feels the same. You're the one who always tells me everyone cheers for a Mizzou team. You just don't know who it is.
Oh, that's true.
Well, if you're listening to this show right now, you cheer for a KU team. It's called the Chiefs.
Do you like my new voice I gave KU fans? That was a good voice. That was a good one.
And you know what's going to be crazy? Much like KU, most of the Chiefs fans in a few years are going to be in Johnson County because that's where the team's going to be.
Was that necessary? I mean, come on now. Was that necessary? That was necessary?
I mean, you're going to go straight from an Applebee's straight to the stadium.
Rob, every time I think of KU basketball, I'm still trying to figure out how they spent $4 million on the rules of basketball to put it next to a rally house. It always blows my mind. No one's ever been able to explain that to me, why it's just next to a rally house. Like, if you ever ask someone, if you go to Allen Fieldhouse, hey, I want to see the rules of basketball. Hey, you know where the rally house is? Go right. That's the identifying mark of where the most important document in sports history is, right next to the rally house. Hang a right. It blows my mind every single time. All right, this is not KU basketball. Well, it is KU basketball season. That's my bad. Like, man, why are you guys talking about KU basketball? It's Kansas basketball season. It's September, and their football team is out of it. It's basketball season in Lawrence. The rest of us are excited about college football. They are not excited about college football in Lawrence. Not even a little bit.
I don't know if you follow John Rothstein, but he said 6 weeks to the day, Carolina and Kansas. Let's just start counting down.
6 weeks to the day. Y'all might have practice. Y'all might move up late night. That's how bad things are going. Y'all might have late night tonight. That might happen tonight. Y'all might have two late nights. How bad things are going for that football team. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We'll get serious here. Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. It's always great to talk to him. Denny, we need your help. Please get us back on track. I've never asked you this. You've been on the show for over a decade now. I've never asked you this question. Are the Royals going to be all right?
Tough weekend, wasn't it? Yeah, one run in three games isn't going to cut it. But a day off, they'll be in Washington, D.C. It's a new venue, pretty much a new team. They really don't know that much about Washington. Maybe that's good. But it's just a matter of the guys relaxing, swinging the bats, hitters coming through with runners in scoring position, which was really good through the first, I'm going to say, 5 months of the season, but it's been lacking lately. But I think we're all right. I think we're going to be in the tournament. Now, if they lose five of the next six, then it's anybody's guess. But I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Denny, what happened to the offense? Is this something just as simple as the injury to Vinny Pasquantino just altered the course of the season? You mentioned it, one run over the course of the weekend. They have had two extended losing streaks since the injury to Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, because stop and think about it. He's your number three hitter. He's a left-handed hitter. He's right in between Witt and Perez, who are both right-handed batters. That gives you great balance. Anything the opponent wants to do at the top of our batting order to bring in a pitcher, whether it be left-handed or right-handed, the Royals still have that balance to offset that. So it's a guy that's, well, right, he was right on the verge of driving in 100 runs. Both Witt and Perez now have done that. But when you've got three guys at the top of your lineup, all of whom have more than 100 runs batted in, that's a pretty potent offense. And since Vinny's exit with the injury, why, the Royals coaching staff and the manager, they've been jockeying the batting order around a little bit. Now, the top of the order has stayed pretty well as it was, except now Perez and Witt have been kind of pinched together. So you lose that bit of balance, that right-left-right balance, and then the guys below them from five down to nine have to pick up. That hasn't happened, and that's another part of the problem.
Denny, how much of this do you think is pressing? How much of it do you think is the moment? Because you mentioned the first 5 months of the season, and baseball is so much about the marathon and not the sprint. Once you get to that final month of the season, it is a sprint. And baseball games, we don't really analyze like it's football. But once you get to this, every pitch matters, every at-bat matters, every game, every series matters. And it seems like the weight of those expectations have really crushed the Royals.
You talk about pressing, and I think that's an individual thing. some guys feel it a little more than others. Who those people are, nobody knows. They keep it to themselves, obviously, and it's not that apparent. But, yeah, there's some pressing going on, and then there's team pressing or team pressure. The one guy in the batting order doesn't get the job done. The guy behind him thinks he has to hit a six-run home run, and it doesn't work. And it's just a team game. You got to move your runners. You got to get them on. You got to move them over. You got to get them in. The Royals did a wonderful job of that through the first 5 months. That has been lacking. They're going to have to pick that up. Otherwise, they might be on the outside looking in.
Denny, it's funny because, you know, the third wild card, I think, has been pretty controversial. I think that's the thing that's going to save the Royals. If you were asking me over the final six games, are the Royals going to outplay the Tigers? I just don't know how you can say that based on how the Tigers have played in the month of September and how the Royals have played. Now, to me, it comes down to, all right, the Tigers are going to make the postseason. They're grabbing one of those two spots aside from the Orioles. Now, the question is, over the next six games, can the Royals be better than Minnesota?
Well, I think so. That would be my bet, and as you know, I'm not a betting person. The one thing the Tigers have going for them, I don't know if it's been mentioned or not, but their last three games of the season are against the Chicago White Sox, and we all know what's happened to the White Sox this year, so that's no guarantee for Detroit, not at all, because Chicago still has major league players. Sometimes they don't play like it, but they've had a brutal year, but they would like nothing more than to beat Detroit two out of three, or maybe all three. Will that happen? Probably not, but don't think they won't be motivated.
I hate to compare the Tigers to the 2014 Royals, but it kind of has that feeling. You remember the Royals were a 500 team heading into August, heading into September. They caught fire and just went on a little bit of a run. If I'm a team like Baltimore, if I'm Houston, I want no parts of the Tigers right now.
Yeah, because you know what else? Their pitching is good. And pitching is going to prevail in a short series. Pitching is going to prevail in the postseason tournament every time. And if your pitching and your bullpen, starters and relievers, are in good form when you go into the postseason tournament, doesn't matter whether you enter as a wild card or you're in as the champion of the division, you're going to be a factor. Because your pitching is going to insist that. Now, you still got to score a few runs once in a while, obviously. But, yeah, pitching's going to go a long way in the postseason. It always does.
Denny, I'm going to ask you this same question, but just in a little bit of a different way. Can you offer up some confidence about the Royals? Because people driving around right now in their cars, Denny, I'm here to tell you confidence is very low when it comes to the Royals. The fan base is not very confident. Can you give us a little bit of confidence about the Royals for this final week of the season?
Okay, how about this? Six games left. They'll do better offensively. Don't forget the starting rotation. It's been very good all year, especially Waka, especially Lugo. The other guys have been good. Reagans has been good. He opens the series in Washington. They'll figure out a way to score some runs. Royals will be fine. They will be in the tournament.
All right, Denny, you know what? You're going to be on the show next week. I hope that we are not doing a season wrap-up conversation, and I hope we are getting ready for the Royals to go on the road for the wild card series. Denny, we enjoy having you every single week. I'm happy that we are talking so late to the season. Normally, you and I are done talking to each other once football starts. We are in week three, week four of the NFL season, and you are still a regular staple on this show.
How cool is that?
That is our guy, Denny Matthews, joining us on the show. Always great to catch up with Denny. Let's get back to football here. We'll get back to the Royals, but I, you know, can't do too much Royals right now. They ain't really deserving of getting too much right now. Can you guys help me with something? Now, I know I'm the one that's supposed to have the answers, but sometimes I don't have the answers for you guys. I come to you guys because maybe you know. You know, maybe you play D1 football. Maybe you got a cup of coffee in the pros. Shout out to my guy, Sean Barber. Maybe you had a 10-year career like he did. Maybe you know more than I know. And I'm willing to say when I don't know things. 913-586-7965. Because this, it's been burning me up for quite some time, and I don't understand. Can you guys explain to me how the Chiefs have the best left guard in the NFL? How they have the best center in the NFL, how they have a Pro Bowl caliber right guard, and how the Chiefs can't run the ball up the middle on short yardage situations. Like, it just, Like, I'm trying to do the math, Rob, and the math, it ain't mathing to me. It doesn't, I don't understand. You got Joe Tooney. You got Creed Humphrey. Ring of Honor guys. Trey Smith. He might be the highest paid player at his position next year. How do you have those three guys when the call is run straight? They can't run straight. Does anybody have a good answer? I'll take any explanation for that because it doesn't make sense to me. It's just something's not adding up. It's funny to me. If you ask me right now, what's the Chiefs' biggest problem offensively? It's red zone efficiency. Why? How? With the weapons that they got, with the quarterback that they have, with the offensive line that they have, how are they so hit or miss in the red zone? If you guys have an answer, please, please let me know. 913-586-7965. Someone on the text line said because they haven't had a short yard back like Kareem Hunt, Kareem Hunt's going to fix that problem? Hurry up and get him immediately if that's the case. If you're telling me that Kareem Hunt, if they would have scored a touchdown on those drives in the first game of the season, and if they had scored a touchdown yesterday, if Kareem Hunt is available, out Kareem. We don't need you to do anything else. It's 3rd and 1. Run. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, a 3 can't block 6 when they know it's coming out. Philadelphia seems to do really good. We all know what they're going to do. They just seems to work. Maybe I'm crazy. Sometimes I want to see the Chiefs' big guys beat the other team's big guys. I just want to see. I don't know. So maybe you guys have a good answer. Maybe you guys can help me out. And I would appreciate that. 913-586-7965. Why the Chiefs, they seem to have all the pieces to be good in the red zone, yet they haven't been great in the red zone, because it's a little confusing to me. Coming up on the other side, let's talk a little bit of Mizzou. Let's talk a little bit of KU. Let's talk a little bit of K-State. All three of them had a very interesting weekend. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, will be on the show in 15 minutes. Rob, I have certainly got my jokes in today about KU. I'm going to give you the floor first to talk about your Jayhawks and what went wrong against West Virginia. Heading into the weather delay, things were looking up for KU. They really were looking up. They had an extended delay. Things always get delayed in West Virginia. And then when they came back from the delay, it was like the Jayhawks from weeks 2 and weeks 3 came out of the tunnel. What went wrong, in your opinion, for KU? What needs to go right to turn this thing around? Because as we are now entering conference play, things can get real bad real fast for KU.
So what went wrong is something I don't know if I've ever said on this show, and this is like not like hubris or whatever. I don't think Lance Leipold coached a very good game coming out of the rain delay. Like, they scored. They went up 28-17 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I know now there's the 2-minute timeout because we can't call it the 2-minute warning. And West Virginia had 3 timeouts. But to be up 11 with 5 minutes to go in a football game and lose in regulation is just, that's coaching. It's that simple. So it was very frustrating because it's a guy who, obviously they're not going to fire Lance Leipold, but it's frustrating to see the guy that you have faith in, the guy has turned the program around, have a coaching blunder, because that should never happen. Like, we made fun of Andy Reid's clock management a lot back before he got Patrick Mahomes. He would never, up 11 with 5 minutes to go, even as a bad clock manager, lose that game. So that's first and foremost. Secondarily, turning around is all relative. I still think they're a bowl team. I saw one of those, you know, like win percentage charts. You know, everyone loves those. They at one point had an 85% chance to win against Illinois. They at one point had an 80% chance to win against UNLV. They were at 90% against West Virginia. Those all three resulted in losses. So it's like a very coaching cliche. They're like a play away. So I guess just stay the course. But this is like a 6-6, 7-5 team that during their bowl game, the conversation is going to be how active they are in the portal more so than it is a team on the field. And for a team that had expectations, that's very frustrating. But it was coaching on Saturday because that can't happen. You can't be up by 11 and lose in regulation. You can't.
Last KU point, I do want to move to K-State after that. Another interception from Jalen Daniels. Are you worried? Do you think a change is possible? What gets this thing back on track?
I don't think a change is possible right now. I mean, I'm not at practice every day. Maybe the freshman that they brought in, they really like, and he's ahead of the curve. But as of now, I don't think you can play a freshman. Maybe if things continue to spiral, you can use the four games to protect his redshirt, and we'll just see what happens at the end of the season.
They got a coin flip coming up against TCU.
I know.
That game's at Arrowhead, right?
Yeah, it's 1.5 points right now.
Yeah, coin flip.
Houston's also bad. That'll be at Arrowheads. I think you got to stay the course with Jalen, but if it continues to spiral and go bad, maybe they chew the fancy massage the roster. The freshman plays four games, he gets experience, and gets to keep his shirt. But right now, the best option is Jalen Daniels, which is an indictment on the options.
I'm going to say something that might upset K-State fans, but I say this as a pure neutral observer of watching three K-State games so far this season. Number one, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, we know what BYU is as a program. It's a road night game in Provo. Those games are tough. I do want to know how the game was 6-0 because I kind of got an eye on Baylor, Colorado. And then I look up and I'm like, yo, they getting smoked. How? When did this happen? It was a blitzkrieg bop at one point. K-State fan, I'm going to tell you guys something that I'm sure you guys are going to be really upset about, but someone needs to tell you this. What happened Saturday is going to happen probably once, maybe twice more, if you keep taking that quarterback on the road. He is not a good enough passer to win those games consistently right now. That is not to say that he cannot be at some point. But today, he is not a good enough passer to take you on the road. We saw that against Tulane. You got a big defensive touchdown. And on Saturday, he was 15 of 28 for 130 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions. He is an elite rushing option. And they have a well-balanced, Giddens had almost 100 yards, Avery was really good, Dylan Edwards was good. Kid can't throw consistently. And if you're on the road and your back is up against it, it's hard to be effective and efficient offensively if that is your quarterback. I was following the game, and Tim Fitzgerald just said at times it feels like they're afraid of Avery. That's kind of the vibe I've gotten the whole season. But they've been winning. Hey, it's good. That's what I'm seeing when I watch K-State, is you just need more consistent quarterback play, and you're just not going to get that at this point. That's something you obviously can develop into. That's just not what they currently have at the position. Let's get a little bit of Missouri in before Mitch Holtis joins us in the studio. Now, this statement I'm going to say, I can acknowledge, comes 100% from my bias of being a fan of the team. Man, just figure out a way to win. I don't think Missouri played well. I think Missouri would tell you they didn't play well. I don't think Missouri was coached very effectively, and we can get through the two end-of-half decisions that are indefensible for Missouri. Bro, just figure it out. I'm not here to tell you that Vanderbilt is good, but I'm telling you that Vanderbilt is a lot scrappier than you remember them being. Their quarterback is kind of like a Doug Flutie kind of thing about him and can run around a little bit, and the talent level is a little bit higher than I think people remember. Vanderbilt will probably make a bowl game. Vandy's going to get somebody in the SEC. They almost got Missouri. Vandy's going to get somebody. They're just squirrely enough, and they're just talented enough at quarterback to kind of get things going. All right, Brady Cook. He has been a problem so far this season, and he has been bailed out by the fact of Missouri completely hit a home run in the transfer portal. They lost one of the five best running backs in college football and then just replaced him with another top five running back so far in college football. That has bailed them out. Their offense has no explosiveness, which makes no sense given the offensive line that they have and the weapons that they have at wide receiver. That's a quarterback and coaching issue, and Missouri at times appears to have both of them. Eli Drinkwitz, my brother, you were bad on Saturday. I'm sorry. You were bad. The end of the first half is one of the – it's like a 12-year-old playing a video game. For those of you that were not watching, Missouri had a 4th-and-3 on their side of the field with less than 30 seconds to go in the second quarter. Everybody just kicks it. You punt. It's 10-10. You punt the ball. We just go to half. You are no better and no worse for it. They get stopped. It then directly gave Vanderbilt 3 points right before the end of the first half. And then at the end of the game, it was even worse than the end of the first half. Missouri tries the, well, let's try to get him to go off sides. Let's try to see if we can get a first down. All right, cool. That's fine. Missouri had all three of their timeouts at the end of the game. Missouri then called a timeout to punt. No. Why would you burn one of your timeouts? Maybe you get a stop and now you can get the ball and win in regulation. It's basic video game stuff. I thought Eli Drinkwitz was bad for most of Saturday, but you know what? Survive in advance. Survive in advance. They won. It's a bye week. They go on the road to Texas A&M for their next game. A&M is not as good as we thought they were going to be. The degree of difficulty is about to ratchet up for Missouri, and they got to play better. It is right there for them. Look at the SEC right now. Oklahoma's worse than we thought they were going to be. A&M's worse than we thought they were going to be. And the teams that are good, they aren't on Missouri's schedule other than Alabama. They are not on Missouri's schedule. It is still all right there for Missouri, but you got to play a lot better than they played the last 2 weeks against Boston College and against Vanderbilt. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis will be on the show. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.